الحمد لله الحمد لله أضعف ما حمده جميع خلقه كما يحبه ويرضاه. سبحان الله وبحمده عدد خلقه ورضا نفسه وزينة عرشه ومداد كلماته. اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عدد ما في علم الله صلاة دائمة بدوام ملك الله. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا يسر ولا تعسر وتمم بالخير وبك نستعين يا فتاح. اللهم اجعلنا دعاة إليك وإلى رسولك. اللهم فقهنا في الدين وعلمنا القرآن الحكيم. ربنا زدنا علما. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. أما بعد، فقال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أن أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم: إنما المؤمنون إخوة فأصلحوا بين أخويكم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: الإيمان بضع وسبعون شعبة، فأفضلها قول لا إله إلا الله، وأدناها إماتة الأذى عن الطريق، والحياء شعبة من الإيمان. صدق الله وصدق رسوله الكريم، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. حاضرين الكرام، honorable assembly، recently we had a very important visitor to our shores in the personality of Hazrat Mufti Taqi Usmani, damat barakatuhum. ونفعنا الله بعلومه آمين. And he gave some interesting talks, very beneficial talks. In light of what he had said, there is a hadith which is quoted by Bukhari and Muslim. It's muttafaq alayh, which I would like to just touch upon today, and which is connected to some of the talks that Hazrat Mufti Taqi Usmani had given in Trinidad. If we ask ourselves the question, whose Islam is the best? I mean, there are billions of Muslims all over the world, and there's about 120,000 Muslims in Trinidad. There are Muslims in Monroe Road, Muslims in this masjid. And if one were to ask himself the question, who is the best Muslim, or whose Islam is the best, how do we answer this? Is it that person who performs Hajj after Hajj? Or is it that person who performs a lot of salah, plenty nafil ibadah? Or is it that one who gives out plenty of sadaqah, plenty of charity? Or is it that one who recites a juz every day? Or who does about 12,000 zikr every day, reciting the name of Allah, Allah? Understand well, my dear brothers and sisters, these acts are very virtuous, very meritorious, and they carry great reward, definitely so. And they improve the status, the daraja, the degrees of a Muslim in his suluk, in his journey towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when a person is working for a master, when he fulfills his obligations and he does extra work, the master becomes pleased with him. And so too our Mawla, Mawlana, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our master, after fulfilling the fara'id and the obligatory duties, we need to do extra things which will earn for us a favorable position in the eyes of Maliki Yawmiddin, in the eyes of Rabbul Alameen, in the eyes of Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. So do not misunderstand me. These acts are quite virtuous and very important to bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as Hazrat had mentioned, Mufti Taqi Usmani, Damat Barakatuhum, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will not question you, why did you not read a juz of Quran every day? Nor will Allah question you, why did you not perform Nafil Salat? Nor will Allah question you, why did you not do all this amount of zikr, 12,000 zikr or 1,000 zikr a day, or why did you not give out in sadaqah, in charity, this amount of money? We will not be questioned for that. If we do it, alhamdulillah, inshallah, with the right intention, with ikhlas, they will bring and they will earn for us a huge reward on the day of Qiyamah. But what we will be questioned about is the fara'iz. That is what we'll be questioned about, our obligatory duties, our obligations to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as Hazrat had mentioned, these fall under two categories. Al-haqqu ala qismain, hukukullah wa hukukul ibad. The rights of Allah and the rights of the ibad, the rights of the servants. And when it comes to hukukullah, the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah forgives whomsoever He wants. A person drank alcohol, a person committed zina, adultery, a person didn't perform his salat in time, he broke some commandment of Allah. If Allah wishes on the day of Qiyamah, Allah can draw a curtain between him and the rest of the creation, and Allah can remind him of all the mistakes and all the faults he committed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can mention to him that in the world did I cover up your faults, and today I cover up your faults also. Go to Jannah. This is what is termed in the hadith as al-ard, or the presentation, or which is also known as hisaba yasira, a small, easy reckoning. But when it comes to hukukul ibad, Allah can't do that. When it comes to the rights of others, and we hurt and we harm others, Allah can't do that. He would not do that. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's quality is that of adl and adalat, justice. And Hazrat had quoted a hadith, a very authentic sahih hadith, that on the day of Qiyamah, a man will come forth. The Rasul alayhi salam had mentioned, and he asked the Sahaba, that who is a bankrupt person? Who is a muflis? The Sahaba said, the one who has no dinar and no dirham. La dananira wa la darahima lahu. He has no dirhams, no dinars, he's a bankrupt person. Then the Rasul alayhi salam explained to them who a bankrupt person really is. Who is a bankrupt person? He said, a man comes on the day of Qiyamah with mountains of good deeds, zikr, salat, tilawat, charity, fasting, sawm, and he feels secured, he feels safe, or thinks that he's going to Jannah with all of these deeds. But then someone comes forth and lays a complaint against him that this man did so and so to me, this man wronged me in such and such a way. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do, which is from hadith of the Rasul alayhi salam, is that on that day the currency is al-amal salih, good actions, righteous deeds. So how Allah is going to compensate the mazlum, the one who has been wronged, the one whose rights have been trampled upon? He's going to take some of the good deeds of this person and give it to that person. That's how he's going to pay him and compensate him. Then others will come forth and lay their claims against him. And Allah will do the same until the man has no good deeds left. And then others will still come forth. But now he has no good deeds. So what Allah will do is that Allah will take their bad deeds and put it on him. So he has lost all his good deeds. And now the other complainants, their bad deeds are transferred to him. And he carries the burden of their bad deeds. And lo and behold, he is thrown into Jahannam. The Rasul alayhi salam said, that is a muflis. That is a bankrupt person. And this is such a very important point which Hazrat had touched upon, because Muslims worldwide, we don't think about that. We are mindful to a certain extent about huququllah, the rights of Allah, but Allah is Ghafoor, Allah is Rahman, and Allah is Rahim, and Allah is Sattar. Allah covers up faults. That's between Allah and His servant. But between the servant and the rest of the servants, Allah has to exhibit adalat and justice. So therefore, if we ask ourselves, who is the best Muslim? We have to thank the Sahaba and thank the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who answered this question for us. A man came to the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, ayyul muslimina khair, which of the Muslims is the best? Whose Islam is the best? Who is the best Muslim? So many Muslims all about. And the Rasul alayhi salam gave a very simple but very comprehensive jami' and mani' answer to that. He said, man, it is that one. Salim al muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. It is that one from whose tongue and whose hands other Muslims are safe. Subhanallah. In another riwayat, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, al Muslim, the true Muslim, the best Muslim, al Muslimul Kamil, المسلم الحقيقي, the real Muslim, من is that one? سلم المسلمون من لسانه ويده, from whose tongue and from whose hands other Muslims feel safe and they feel secure. He is the best Muslim. If we analyze this hadith, the Rasul alayhi salam mentioned first of all the tongue and then the hand, because the injuries caused by the hand can cure, but the injuries caused by the tongue, they never cure, they don't heal. And the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the son-in-law of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the first youth to embrace Islam, the fourth Khalifa, Amirul Mu'mineen, Hazrat Ali karramallahu wajh, has said, "Jarahatu sinan," that the wounds caused by weapons, lahaltiyam, heal. They have a healing. They heal with the passage of time. Wala yaltamu ma jaraha al-lisan, but the wounds caused by the tongues, they don't heal. When you ridicule someone, when you hurt someone, when you cut someone with your tongue, then the effect and the impact of that blow goes straight to his heart, and years after years he remembers that, and these wounds don't heal. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned tongue first of all, and then he mentioned the hand. The late Hazrat Sheikh Inam ul Hasan, he used to say that ikram has different levels, which is honor, respect, love for your Muslim brothers and for mankind in general. Sometimes we think that ikram is only for Muslims, but Allah speaks about your neighbor, and he made no distinction whether your neighbor is Muslim or non-Muslim. He speaks about the near and the distant neighbor. He speaks about mankind. So ikram is for everyone, but especially for your Muslim brothers and sisters, especially for your parents, for the elderly, for your mashayikh, for your ulama. So Hazraji used to say that ikram has many, many levels. It has many levels and branches of ikram. Just as iman has many branches and levels. The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam had mentioned al-imanu bid'un wa sab'una shu'ba, that iman is of 70 something branches. Iman, 70 something branches. Fa'afdaluha, the afdal, the best branch of iman, is qawlu la ilaha illallah, is the qawl, the statement, the shahada, that there is no ilah, there is no deity, there is no ma'bud, object worthy of worship, illallah, except Allah. To believe in that, to have the aqidah on that, to say it, to do the dhikr of it, to give da'wah to it, that's the highest, that's the best. La ilaha illallah. But when there is the highest, there is also the lowest. Iman has different levels, just like ikram. Then the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, wa adnaha, and the lowest level of iman is imatatul adha anit tariq, to remove something hurtful from the pathway, is the lowest level of iman. Like if you are walking the street and you see a banana peel, someone can slip on it, you see a bottle, you see a nail, a rock, remove something harmful from the pathway is the lowest form of iman, is the lowest form of iman, but it is a juz and a part of iman. If we take the flip side of this, then what about the flip side of this coin? When imatatul adha anit tariq, removing something harmful from the pathway, is the lowest level and the lowest branch of iman, then what about putting something in the pathway? What about causing harm to others and obstructing others? That is opposed to iman. That is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it's a hadith of Abu Dawood, the Rasul said, ittaqul la'inain. He said, fear the two curses. O people, fear the two curses, which means fear the two reasons for being cursed. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum said, man la'inan. What are the two curses? What are the two reasons for being cursed? And the Rasul, Sayyidul Kaunain sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, Alladhi yataqalla fi tariqin nas aw dhillihim. It is that one who defecates in the pathway of the people, in the roadway of the people, or in their shade. These are the two reasons for being cursed. The roadway, the pathway, a track, is for people to walk upon. But here it is, someone goes and drops his stuff there in the middle of the road, defecates in the road, causes discomfort, harm to the person. He curses the one who does that. There is a tree which people take rest under, travelers, passerby, pedestrians. A person goes and he defecates under there, causes discomfort, the person curses him. So while on one hand, the lowest level of iman is to remove something obnoxious, hurtful, harmful, injurious from the pathway, which is a sign of iman, the lowest branch of iman. On the other hand, when we do the opposite of that, defecating in the pathway, obstructing people's passage, blocking people's pathway, causing harm, injury to them, is opposed to iman, and we pay little attention to that. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ended his statement by saying, wal haya'u shubatun min al iman. That haya, modesty, shyness, shame, is a great branch of iman. The tanween is for ta'zim. Mullah Ali Al-Qari defines what is Al-Haya, what is shyness. He says, the murad here is Al-Haya'ul Imaniyu, Imani Haya. Haya, shame, modesty of an Imani nature. Not a person who is ashamed to perform his salat in public. Not a person who is ashamed to dress with his sunnah clothing in public. Not a person who is ashamed to do his duty because he's ashamed of people. Not that. But haya, says Mullah Ali Al-Qari, haya is kulukun. It is a quality, a characteristic within a believer. Yamna'uhu anil fi'lil qabih, which stops him from doing ugly, sinful, disgraceful deeds. It is that trait within a person, yamna'uhu manil fi'lil qabih, which stops him from an ugly act, bisababil iman, and that is because of his iman that is present within him. So just as iman has different levels, highest level, the lowest level, to remove something hurtful from the pathway, then what do you think about when we obstruct the pathway of others? Or we block the waterway of others? It's a natural waterway. We go and we block the waterway. We block the passageway of others. We cause harm. We cause discomfort to the others. The Rasul was very particular about that. Not to defecate in the shade of people, on the trees where people take rest under. Not to defecate in the pathways. So too, my dear brothers and my dear sisters, ikram has different levels. And Hazraj used to say that just as iman has different levels, ikram has different levels. And the lowest level of ikram is not to cause discomfort to your Muslim brother and sister, or not to cause discomfort to the public at large. If you can't give them benefit, because nafa, al-manfa, benefit, fawaid, are of different levels. If you can't give benefit, at least do not cause harm and discomfort to someone. So in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us that at least this is the level that we should reach, because for ikram and akhlaq, there are other levels. But to be a true Muslim, to be the best Muslim, it is that person, Salim al-Muslimuna min lisanihi, is one from whose tongue and hands other Muslims feel safe. They don't cause discomfort to them, which is the least we can do to others if we can't give them benefit. And when we analyze this, subhanAllah, we think about the insensitivity of people. Hazrat Mufti Taqi Usmani was saying in one of his talks, which he gave in the Islamic Center in Karani, he said that when I go to masjids to give a lecture, he says very often there is an announcement with the driver of PBJ 6479 or PA so-and-so, please remove your vehicle, you are blocking the way, you are causing discomfort to others. He says many times he goes to give lecture and they make that announcement over the mic. How do we do that? I mean, we have some understanding. Okay, it's time for Juma. Juma has started. Khutbah has started. Salat has started. Okay, so we take a chance and you park quickly. But then the thought should be there in you that after I finish, let's remove my vehicle as quickly as possible so that I don't cause discomfort to others. Somebody might be in an emergency and I am blocking the pathway, blocking someone. Or we see a handicap sign. It's a handicap sign for people who are handicapped. But yet, those who are healthy, those who are strong, those who are fit, and those who are able will park their vehicles inside of the handicap parking, causing discomfort to those who are truly sick. There are certain parks that are reserved for security reasons, for the imam, for the muazzin, etc. With no pay, no heed, we do that. We cause discomfort to people and we don't pay any heed to it. Block people, block pathway. Our neighbor next door, we throw our water over on him. We don't put a gutter in to take care of our water. We don't have proper drainage to take care of our water. Rights, and we don't care about these hukukul ibad. Abuse, insult, injure, cause harm, cause discomfort. Hazrat was saying, a simple thing like parking, subhanAllah, is part of the deen of Islam and falls under hukukul ibad, where you go and you block somebody. And then sometimes for minutes after minutes, the person still is not moving his vehicle without any care, without any sense, without any sympathy or concern at all. My dear brothers and my dear sisters, we need to be mindful of these things, because that person is the best person, is the best Muslim, from whose tongue and whose hands other Muslims feel safe, and this falls under hukukul ibad, and it is very important. Hazrat was also mentioning that his elder brother wrote a letter to Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi, because his father, Mufti Shafi Rahimahullah, told him to ask Hazrat for duas and write a letter to Mufti, Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi, and his elder brother wrote the letter. And Hazrat replied and said, you have done well, mashallah. I compliment you on writing this letter and asking for duas. And I praise Allah, and you should be thankful that now you have learned to write. But after having learned to write, improve your handwriting. Improve your handwriting with the intention that you will not cause discomfort to the reader. Wow, even in that, subhanallah. He says, I'm trying to make you a Sufi. I'm trying to make you a man of Allah from your early days of childhood, that you may understand what tazkiyah and tasawwuf really is. Improve your handwriting so that the person who is reading it, you will not cause pain and discomfort to him. It is all part of man salim al muslimuna min lisani wa yadi, even in handwriting, to make it with that niyat of being, of making it pleasing and not difficult upon the readers. That is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, man kana yu'minu billah wal yawmil akhir, whoever believes in Allah and in the last day, said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, falyukrim dhaifahu, let him treat his guest with respect. Show honor, show ikram. Don't cause discomfort to the guest. وَمَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ, and anyone who believes in Allah on the last day, فَلَا يُؤْذِي جَارَهُ, let him not cause hurt and harm to his neighbor. Let him not bring discomfort to his neighbor. If he cannot give him any benefit and harm, at least don't cause a problem for him. Don't throw your rubbish on his side. Don't take off his boundary. Don't block his waterway. Don't throw your water on his side. Do not cause harm and discomfort to your neighbor. And the Rasul alayhi salam said, وَمَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ, and anyone who truly believes in Allah on the last day, فَلْيَقُلْ قَيْرًا, let him say good things, أَوْ لِيَسْمُتْ, or let him shut up. Let him speak good things or let him shut up. Let him keep quiet, because the tongue can cause such a harm, such damage, which may never ever ever heal in life. So while we go about, my dear brothers, our journey in this life, we should be mindful of these things, that we should not be a source of discomfort to others. It's the least that we can do. It's the lowest level of ikram, which qualifies us to be amongst the best of Muslims, even in handwriting, to try to improve the handwriting so you would not bring discomfort to the reader of the letter. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ended his hadith, his statement, by saying, wal muhajir, and the true emigrant, the true muhajir, because I mean, somebody migrates for the sake of Allah. People migrate for dunya, people migrate for a woman. But the Rasul said, the true muhajir, the real muhajir, al muhajirul kamil al hakiki, man is that one, hajara ma nahallahu anhu, who migrates and who leaves off that which Allah has prohibited him from. He is the true emigrant. He migrates from that, he leaves out that. It's a simple, short, sweet hadith, but it is a solution to solving problems that exist in society, which we pay little or no attention to. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين.